Okay, tonight's teaching will be on the cornerstone, the Pinah, the cornerstone, Pinnah, Pinah in Hebrew. And I want to start with Job, where the reference Pinah occurs. Chapter 38, Job, verse 6. Well, I probably have to start at verse 4 to get you into this. Where were you, Job, when I laid the foundations of the earth? So, the foundations of the earth means, where were you when I created the world? Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Bereshit bara Elohim. In the beginning, God created. So where were you when I did that? Et Hashemayim, the heavens, Va'et, and the earth, Ha'aretz. Where were you when I did that? Where were you? Job, what do you know? If you think you're smart, then listen to God's question here. What do you know? What do you know by experience? You have some head knowledge, some concepts, but what do you really know? Nothing. You don't know anything. You weren't even there. You weren't there when I laid the foundation of the earth, nor was any man there. None of you were there. None of you were there. So he said to Job, "Hey, by the way, Job, let me ask you a question. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare it if you have understanding." In other words, you think you're smart? Yeah, go ahead, tell us how it was. Job is kind of like, well, gosh, I wasn't even there. That's right. So don't ask so many questions. Don't think you're brilliant. This is kind of a humbling rebuke to Job, the smart person. I don't think Job was the only one that thought he was smart. I have a feeling there's one or two in this room. I do. I really do. I don't know. I could be off on that. Who has laid the measures thereof? Do you know the measures? Did you know what ruler I used? Were you there when I laid my compass out? Were you there when I did that? Did you remember what fractions I used? Do you remember how I formulated it? Well, gosh, no. I really wasn't there at that point. When I set up pi r squared, were you there? The circumference of the earth, were you there? What do you know? It's a great question. Who has laid the found the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who has stretched the line upon it? Were you there when I flicked my little cord to measure the straight line, going up, going back, going to the side? Were you there when I did that? Were you my helper? I don't recall. Were you there when I did all of that? If you've ever built a house, a building, well, you have to do all these things. God is the great architect of the universe. He's the one that set it up. There's no such thing as a house without an architect. Houses take architects. They have to know how to set the angles, the corners, and particularly the very first corner. If you had a piece of property, first thing you want to do is find out where you're going to set your house and then set that first corner. And it's got to be exact. Because if you build it a little bit off, then your foundation and your building won't match. And you could just be a fraction of a second off, depending on how large this house is. It could be quite a bit off by the time you get to the end. Or you build up tall. You better lay it just right. Make sure that foundation is not breakable. Make sure that foundation will hold whatever it is you put on it. And make sure it's straight and it's exact and nothing is off. So he's just asking him a simple question. Hey, Joe, by the way, since we're asking questions about how the house works, where were you when I laid the foundation? Were you there when I was setting up the strings? Were you there when I set up the scaffolding? Do you know anything about the measure sticks I used? You remember what kind of, measures I employed at that time? Were you there? Whereupon, here's the question, are the foundations thereof fastened? By the way, Job, what did I fasten it on? You think I fastened the earth upon the earth when there was no earth? He said, how did I put that stone up when there was nothing to put the stone upon? Try that. Just out in mid-space. God laid his cornerstone and he didn't even have an earth to lay it upon. Where did I put it? To what did I fasten it? What kind of glue did I use? What kind of shovel did I employ? How did I lay that thing, by the way? Or, who laid the cornerstone thereof? Pinah. Who laid the face of that stone? Who laid the chief stone, the first stone, the cornerstone? You see, every building has a cornerstone. Even this building, every building. There's a stone, it's usually in that corner over there. But it'll be in some corner. Actually, I believe it's over here for the old building because this was a new addition onto the old building. So it has to be lined up with the old cornerstone. So you have to find out which corner was the corner. It doesn't start with all four. It starts with one. And the lines have to be exact so that from the northeast corner to the southwest corner, there has to be a line laid and then a perfect X and see if the measurements come out exactly right. Otherwise, it's not perfect. Well, God is indicating that he's a mathematical genius. That is, that's where math came from. And that he actually knows how to build something. After all, he made the heavens and the earth. Where were you when I created the clouds? What shape are they? What was my rule? What was my standard? What was my yardstick? Were you there? All right, that's the first place that we want to look tonight. The second place is Psalm. Next book in the Bible, 118:22. We're going to learn about the cornerstone tonight. It's one of my favorite topics. It's the foundation of my life. Psalm 118:22. Well, of course, this whole thing we could read, but. It's talking all about the right hand of the Lord which did this. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly, verse 16. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord, 17. 18, the Lord hath chastened me sore, but he's not given me over to death. In other words, if you're going to be built into this house or upon this house, upon this rock I will build my church, if you're going to be builded, you have to know how you line up with the stone. Now, I wrote a word up here, which is not pinah, which is the whole cornerstone, but I wrote a word on one of the faces of the stone, and I called it yeshar. You see the Hebrew word that I wrote? Three little letters. Yeshar, number one. Yeshar. Yeh, the little A underneath the Y, A, and then the SH, and then the R. And I put some little points. Those are called points in the Hebrew. So there's three consonants. Y, S-H, R. Yashar. So Yashar means right. How to be right with God. And this is an absolute right. This is an absolute right. How are you absolutely, truly, in truth, right? How are you lined up with Yashar? Jesus said it this way, and the Holy Spirit, when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness, what's right, and of judgment. So what is right? What is sin? What is judgment? It's all here in the stone. Those are the three things that Jesus will do. When the Holy Spirit has come, he will convict, he will convince. He will prove, he will demonstrate, he will manifest, show forth whether you line up or not, whether you're in sin or whether you're right or whether you're under judgment. I mean, I'd like to hear the judge say, well done, rather than depart from me, you evildoer. I just would. It's better to get that judgment than the other judgment. Well, Yashar, That's the absolute standard by which everything in the world is made and judged and punished. The absolute standard by which everything is measured. Jim, how are you standing in my yashar? How are you in right standing with me? How are you right with me? Are you measured exactly according to me? Because that stone determines the height, the depth, the length, the breadth, everything. Everything is measured by that stone. So God has a standard by which he judges everything, and he just holds it up to you. Nope, you're out. Yep, you're okay. You know, and just measuring everything with his little standard. Whatever that standard is, I need a rock that's 12 inches. Nope, yep, nope, you know. And so God's got a standard by which to judge every thought, every word, every deed, everything in the world. Economics, politics, society, the human soul, the spirit of man, everything. Everything. Pastor Jim, he measures me. No good. You know, and, God, what are you doing? And if I don't measure up according to Yashar, if I'm not right, if I'm not measured exactly right, if I'm not on the right, if I'm on the left, I could be discarded, rejected, tossed out. It was said later that Jesus didn't measure up to the Jewish standard. Imagine, Jesus failed the Jewish standard. They measured Jesus, reject him, crucify him, no good. And the stone that the builders rejected, the Jewish builders rejected Jesus as being their king, their Lord, their Savior, their Messiah, their Goel. Imagine Jesus, he didn't even measure up. Nope, no good. And they chose, said, Barabbas, he's all right, let him go. But Jesus, no good. He was the Son of God. He was the guy that made the whole place. He is the cornerstone. And yet he didn't measure up to the cornerstone. He is the cornerstone himself. And they rejected the cornerstone. He said, that stone that they rejected, that they said would not test out, they killed him. And he jumped up again because he passed the test. And they rejected him. It has now become the head of the corner. That is the building stone upon which you and all mankind who would be saved shall be saved. Do you measure up? Jesus has become the head of the corner. He's become the chief cornerstone. He's the one by which everything is built. Upon this rock I will build my church. Ecclesia, my called out ones from the earth. All else will be rejected. So those that rejected Jesus were rejected by Jesus. If you will not confess me before men, then I will not confess you before the Father. It's a cornerstone. It's a stone by which, a standard upon which you will be crushed or you will live. So that cornerstone, that Yashar, you see how important that is. I realize tonight I'm only demonstrating a standard by which, that there is a standard, and it's this cornerstone. The one that Job and God were discussing. That God was saying, by the way, from the beginning, when there wasn't anything, I laid my cornerstone. Laid it on what? No. I laid it and everything else was built upon it. Everything was built around it. Everything else was built to it. Everything measured exactly the way I wanted it, according to the cornerstone that I first laid. He didn't lay the stone upon the earth. He laid the earth upon the stone. Isn't that interesting? Right out in outer space, God just set a stone. And that stone was the secret by which the whole earth was conceived, and the heavens and the earth. Bereshit bara Elohim. In the beginning, God created. Ba'et, the heavens and the earth. Ha'aretz. Et. Hashemayim va'et ha'aretz. He created the heavens and the earth upon that cornerstone. First thing he did was the cornerstone. First thing he did was lay it out. First thing he did was set his compass upon the earth and the seas and the mountains. And he did all of that for you and me. He did all of that not for himself. He did all of that not for himself. He did all of that for mankind. He said, you know, I'm going to create mankind, but first I have to have a perfect habitat for them. So he laid his cornerstone. In case something goes wrong, I'll lay this cornerstone. I can always recorrect it. I can always bring it back. I can always adjust it back. If something ever goes wrong, just make this adjustment right here. This was before man was created and before sin was on the earth. There was no breach at that time. Everything was perfect. And he said, let there be light, and there was light, and he saw that it was good. And he said, let there be the land, and it appeared, and he saw that it was good. And day after day, God created for 6 whole days. And on the 6th day, he created man, said, finally, it's ready. And he created man upon the earth, and he went through all the animal kingdom, and everything was yashar. Everything measured exactly according to the perfect standard, the rightness of God. And Adam gave names to all the animals, showing his dominion over the earth. But God had dominion over Adam. And it was by God's dominion that Adam held his dominion. He was an under-dominionist. God was the over-dominionist. God was the supreme sovereign. He is the one that laid the standard, the foundation. The throne was set. And it's upon that throne that God will build his house, a holy house, a perfect house, a house that measures in every way up to the standard that God has made. And every one of us was made in the image and likeness of God. And he warned us. Now, I've given you liberty, something I never gave the snake, something I never gave the frog, something I never gave the rock, something I never gave anything else in the universe. I've given you reason. I've given you moral conscience. I built it in. That's yashar. However, I left something. Something I left. I left something. I gave you a command, don't eat of that tree. Don't do wrong. But you have the freedom. You could do wrong. And there's the problem, that by mere reason and by moral conscience, I cannot please God. Even though God built it into me and said, don't do wrong, eschew evil, refrain from it, restrain yourself. Don't do bad, do good. Everyone, I want everyone to do good, be holy, be yashar. And he didn't give me enough. He only put in me reason. He says, as long as you stay under me, your reason will work. And your moral conscience will be clear. But if you deviate, if you're no longer yashar, if you deviate off the course, if you just take off just a fraction of a fraction of a fraction, you're lost. Stay right on course. Stay true. I've given you now my yashar, my standard, my rule, my law. So God laid it out, told us not to do it. Sure enough, with our freedom, we done it. We did it. We goofed. We failed. We got off just a little hair, but just enough. After all, what started out as a small, you know, at the corner, if you get off just a fraction, that could be 2 or 3 feet down by the end. You don't know how far it'll be off. You built a house, and it wasn't square. And you found that out later. And you found that out because it started out okay, and, oh, yeah, it's just a fraction off. By the time you got to the end, oh, my gosh, it's way off. Yeah, well, tear it down and build it again. Because the standard hasn't changed. The rule by which the cornerstone is laid. It's first. So, you understand that when you were created, when you were made, when you came into the world, there was a standard. You didn't know that standard by your reason. You didn't know that standard by your moral conscience. Because even though you knew about it, you didn't know it intimately. You weren't lined up exactly. You were conceived in sin. Where did you get that sin? Your mother. Your mother conceived you in sin. Mom, you do this? Mm-hmm. I did. And my mother before me. Well, where did we get all of this sin? Adam. But actually, Adam contracted it from Mother Earth. You know, he got it from his mom. Well, he didn't have a mom. So where did he get it? Well, Eve. Eve was the first one that sinned, was she? So there was, I don't know where he came from. A serpent came out of nowhere. Sly. was. Well, who are you? Who art thou? Where'd you come from? Are you one of God's creatures? And the serpent began to speak to mankind about deviating. Well, you know, it's kind of rough to stay in the lines. You scribble a little bit, get off a little bit, it won't hurt anything. God's a kindly old man. I believe he'll just ignore it. He probably won't even catch it. You could be like a god yourself, making your own lines. How many know that when little kids color a little picture, they color all over the page and even onto the table? And then pretty soon they're coloring the walls and the floors and everything. They just get carried away. No, 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 honey, you're coloring this figure that I drew there. Just stay within the lines. And they pay no attention to lines. Little kids just scribble all over the place. And they'll use all kinds of colors sometimes, maybe one color. They don't care. Just put something on there. They don't care. Mom, here it is, hanging up on the fridge. You hang it up. Alice's first coloring. It's a beautiful picture. Fortunately, it has a boundary to it, the piece of paper. Of course, you can't put the stove up there and the floor and other things that they might have colored in the process, the whole wall. So little kids are fond of coloring out of the lines. Have you ever noticed that about little kids? They just can't stay in the lines. Oh, no, 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 no. So the mother has to stand over the child and guide its hands to stay within the lines. You know, it's hard for little kids to stay within the lines. Okay, your turn. No, 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 no. Stay in the lines. Just giving that kid a neurosis, you know, because they just can't. I did. To them, there are no lines. There are no boundaries. There is no yashar. But mother will build that into the little kid before he's two. We'll hammer that in till every little child realizes you do not rule yourself. You shall be ruled. Do not go out of the lines. Do not go out when I say, do not go out. Wear this when I say, wear this. Mothers take the brunt of that. It's hard to be a mom. You love your little child, and your little child's scribbling, and that's your little child. But you know that the lines have to be followed. Don't eat of the tree of which I told you not to eat. You will not figure out what is good and evil. I will tell you what is good and evil. Do not independently go on your own. Well, that's exactly how we're built. For some reason, I don't care how many parents discipline the child, talk to the child, hold his hand, as soon as you let him on his own, he's wild, lawless, free, drawing his own lines. Forget the cornerstone. There are no standards. There are no rules. It's me, Johnny, Jane, Billy. So little kids like to just do their own thing. And they resent it when you hinder them. You're giving me a neurosis. You're making me feel bad. What's wrong with my picture? But parents have to teach children yashar, the standard. There is a stone. There is a right and a wrong. I will teach you what's right. Don't you love me? Of course I love you. That's why I discipline you. Because if I love you, I will keep you in yashar. If I let you go, if I let you rule yourself, you cannot rule yourself until you're first ruled by God. You cannot rule yourself until you're first ruled by God. I can only rule myself and govern myself if I'm first governed by God, my superior, the cornerstone. So every good pastor, every good politician, every good businessman, every good leader must teach the cornerstone. Do they? No. They speak of it in poetic terms, but when it comes down to practice and reality, only the parent cares enough for his child to discipline them and keep them within the lines. If you love your children, you will chasten them, spank them, discipline them, use the rod. Hey, back in the line. Well, what was that for? You weren't in the line. Stay in line. Keep your line. He's pushing me. Stop pushing. Because little kids will push. They're all standing in line, but one little kid will push the other little kid. Hey, you're pushing me. Now you're bumping me. You know, little kids, they just if they're just in first grade, they're pushers. Hey, don't push into me. Stop that. They're just, little kids are like that. They'll get out of the line in no time. Everyone, attention. Somebody has to keep everybody in line, Yashar. So, Jesus is the cornerstone for everything. For politics, for money, for finance, for house building, for automobile mechanics, everything in the earth has to be Yashar, according to Jesus. It has to fit the physical laws, the moral laws, the cultural laws, the spiritual laws, the dietary laws. There are laws everywhere. Everything must be Yashar. Everything must be measured by Jesus, who has authority in heaven and earth. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. There's a cornerstone. All authority. Everything that I authorize is true. Everything I do not permit is a lie. If you are not for me, you're against me. Whoa, Jesus set up the rule. Jesus, my Savior, the one that loves me, is the one disciplining me. So, everything must be Yashar. Now, what you know is that this cornerstone that was laid, which is hidden, no man has ever seen God at any time. We don't know. We weren't there. Where were you, saith the Lord to Job? Were you there when I laid the foundation of the earth? No. But I can see the evidence of it. No. You can only see the outer evidences, but you have never seen my cornerstone. No, where is it? I hid it. Where? Upon Mount Zion. Did you know that's where it is? When we go to Jerusalem, we can go and see it. We can go and see where the cornerstone is. There. I don't see it. Ah, it's hidden. Well, somebody should dig it out. Did you know that the Masons, because they're Masons, you know, they like building stuff. The Masons actually have a high holy place underneath the Temple Mount. Attempting to dig out the cornerstone and find it. And there's where they have their secret Kabbalistic ceremonies to rule the earth. Ah, whoever could define the cornerstone would be the ruler of the earth. Whoever could be the king of Jerusalem. Whoever could rule the earth must be where the cornerstone laid. So they've got their little high holy ground. Peggy and I have been down there. We've actually seen the room where the great Masonic lodge layeth. We could feel the Masonic vibrations down there in the rule of the universe, the mysteries of the universe. Actually, it looked like just a hole. It just looked like a room, a big quarry dug out. Didn't look very interesting at all, but it had a sign on the wall, kind of the world headquarters of Masonry here, kind of thing, little sign on the wall. Not many people go down, it's so far down, deep into the earth. I don't know how far we went down, but it's cold down there. We went deep, deep, deep down. I guess it gets hotter if you keep going further. But it was cool. Go down. Did you ever go down, Barb? Did you ever walk underneath the city? It's under the North Gate. When you go to the North Gate, near where Jesus was crucified, right near there, that gate, you go down underneath. Don't go into the city. You go down underneath to the left of the as the gate as you go in. You go down, it's just like a hole. You just walk down under there, you know, kind of go down under, and there's cavern after cavern after cavern going down, 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 room after room after room after room underneath the whole city. All the city is built upon that rock. That's why when they had an earthquake a couple of years ago and certain things began to crumble, including the Western Wall, on the woman's side, The walls began to come down because it's so weakened now. Solomon's stables have been weakened because there's been so much digging, and they've dug out so much that there's no longer a solid rock there on the mount. So now earthquakes appear. Cracks, fissures. Oh, one thing I forgot to tell you. The Dome of the Rock, the high holy Muslim place, has a crack in it. It's a hairline crack. Something you'd probably not pay attention to. But that little crack is the beginning of the end. It's powerful. One more earthquake. The whole thing falls apart. And it was an act of God. It wasn't even anything that anyone did. Well, someone was digging too much. But the Muslims have dug as much as the Christians. So there you have it. I didn't dig that part. You did. No, I didn't do it. You did. And they're arguing about whose diggers dug that, caused that. Well, the Jews got punished because the women can no longer go to the Western Wall and pray. No women allowed. Men only. Oh, I love that. Don't you love that? There's God. I can see God right in that. Right there. I believe they're back again. But they had to firm everything up for quite a while. No one could worship there at the Western Wall because of the cracks. Where is that cornerstone laid? It's on Mount Zion. It's right there in the area somewhere. Where is the holiest spot? Do you think it's perhaps where the rock that Abraham sacrificed Isaac upon, which happens to be the Al-Aqsa Mosque, which is the one I was telling you about, up on the Temple Mount itself? And some say that's where the Holy of Holies was for the Temple of Jerusalem, the high holy place of the Jews, now taken over by the Muslims. Should the Muslims overtake the Jews? Mysteries. But God's treasure remains hidden. That, by the way, is the same stone that David bought when he bought the threshing floor. Right there. There's where you shall thresh. You can look into it. You can look down into it. Ah, yeah, yeah. That's where they used to thresh. Right there. Kind of a little cave dug out. Do you remember that? When we went in, you could look down into the stone and you could see inside a little place dug out where they threshed the wheat. There's going to be a threshing on this earth, a separating between that which is holy and that which is good and that which is true and that which is right, yeshar, and that which is not. It's going to be a separation. It's coming soon, a shaking of the house of God. Verse 22. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. Again, the word pinah. That stone which the builders refused, they rejected the stone. They rejected the stone. It's now become the head of the corner. Number two is the stone they rejected. Yet Jesus was yeshar, number one. So number two has now become the head of another house. Another form of righteousness. If you're not yeshar and you're rejected by the builders, you can go and build again on another foundation, the true foundation. Because the true foundation, it's the same stone. It's just here the stone crushes under yeshar. Whether you're legalistic or licentious, whether you eat of this side of the tree or that side of the tree, whether you take this fruit or that fruit, it all ends up the same. It's called sin. Anyone who eats here, all flesh is condemned together. Whether it's man at his best, legalism, or man at his worst, license. Whether it's man doing out of the lines or man keeping into the lines but only externally, they're both rejected. Why? Because that's not the measure. This is the measure. You must fail here in order to be redeemed here. This is the redemption here. This is the salvation here. to redeem that which is lost. So whatever is condemned here under the law must be brought over here under the gospel. Because that which is built upon the rock must be built exactly in the way God sets it up. God never intended for man to eat of this tree. He said, don't eat of this tree. It isn't whether you're good or bad. God doesn't want you to be good or bad. He doesn't want you to be Yashar. He wants you to be over here. He doesn't want you to be Yashar because it's you. He wants your deeds to be wrought in God, not by you. Whether they're good deeds or bad deeds, they're your deeds. Good deeds by you, bad deeds by you, they're all evil. What? But these are good deeds. I ate of the tree, but I only ate the good part, the good part, the good part. I didn't do the bad part. I stayed within the lines. Yes, but it was you. It was you. And you thought if you stayed within the good part, if you established your righteousness, if you could prove that you were Yashar, that God would accept you. Well, you didn't understand. God never expected you to be God. Only God can be God. Only God can keep his law. It's God's law, and we're not God. How can God put a law for me? It's not like the law for the turtle. The turtle never broke the law. It's the law for man. Well, you only gave me reason. Yes, but you didn't submit your reason to me. Ah, it's true. Have you ever discovered that your reason can come up with reasons that are opposed to reason? Have you ever discovered, you know, on the one hand, let me see now, I think I'll marry her because here's three good reasons why. Of course, over here, there's three good reasons why I shouldn't. Ah, that's the problem with reason. It's never final. It's never complete. Nothing can ever be done by human reason. Somebody messed it up. No, reason just isn't God. You have to take every thought captive to the Word of God. Reason is never enough. Well, but that's all he gave me. He didn't make me God. He should have made me God. You can complain. You can gripe. God, this is your fault, you know. Yes, I got out of the line, but I'm blaming you. Or, God, I didn't get out of the line. How can you punish me like that? Because you used your natural reason. That you gave me that. Yes, I did. But I define what's Yashar and what's not. I'm looking for perfection. Well, only Jesus can do that. That's correct. So when you mess up over here, my intention, my plan, my purpose originally was not that you would win over here, but that you wouldn't eat of that tree. Because you're not Yashar. Jesus is. He's the only one. God is good. Only God is good. You're not God. You're not good. Did you see that? With your moral conscience, though it's good, it's not good enough. It's not perfect. It's good, but it's not perfect. Ah, besides, legalism always leads back to license. There's a problem with legalism. It'll always go back to license. B or two. I'll make it A and B. That make it simple. A, B. A and B. B always goes back to A. Sooner or later, you get a guy that's moral, he'll become immoral. If you put him in the right circumstance. You can measure him. You can test him. Put him through a little fire. See whether he won't fall back into an A. Put any man through the stress and the strain that Jesus went through, and you'll see you're not Jesus. Tremble. You tremble. You'll be in fear. You'll be ignorant. You'll be like a zombie. It's because you tried to play the game. You thought you could be Yashar. But no man can be Yashar. Jesus only. He is the cornerstone. This one is perfect. Absolute perfection. This one, here's another way. In case you fail here, in case you're condemned under the law here, Yashar law, run over here. This one, of course, you're not perfect, but Jesus is perfect, and he gives to you and accounts to you imputedly that you are righteous by his imputed word and act. So I'm imputedly righteous. I'm righteous, I'm right, I'm correct with God because I believe through faith. And that's how I'm right. Now I'm actually wrong under Yashar, but I'm right under Tzadik. So you failed number one, but you succeeded under number two. That's why you've experienced in your own life how you cannot be perfect with all your reason and all your moral strength and all your independence and you can't make it. This law is not made for you. It's made for Christ in you. This law is not made for you. It's made for Christ in you. This law is not made for you. Christ apart from you, Christ in you, but it's Christ. He keeps the law. I am the way and the truth and the light. I am is the cornerstone. Pina. Jesus is this cornerstone. He has all of it. All of it. Not just this, not just this, not just this, but everything. Jesus is the measure by which everything in the earth is measured. Are you beginning to see the picture? You're always wrong. If you're a Yashar, under face one, you will never be right. You will never be made right with God. Only God is right with God. Only God is good. None is good but God. You cannot be good over here. You cannot make it over here. You don't have the ability. That's why you're in fear. That's why you're a failure. That's why you're not succeeding. Because you're trying to be God. You're trying to control people. You're trying to run your own life. You're trying to manage your world. You can't do it. You're not smart enough, strong enough, handsome enough, pretty enough. You're nothing. Well, I feel like people don't love me. You're right. You're correct. They don't. Well, I just don't feel like anybody understands me. You're right. They don't. Well, that's what I was feeling. Well, you were right. I said you were right. You can't make it over here. Well, I feel like I'm a failure then. You're correct. That's correct. You are a failure. You've always been a failure. You will never succeed over here. You're not God. God demands perfection out of people that are incapable of perfection. Well, I feel it's God's fault then. He gave me too high a standard. Well, that's the standard. Well, it's not fair. I'm going to blame God. I'll kill him if I ever see him. You've already done that. Well, if I see him twice, I'll kill him. You can't kill him twice. He's already been killed. Somebody already killed him. And he used that very death to give you life. Well, he deserved it because he put something too big on me. Apparently, you're not a burden taker. Apparently, you want blessings without burdens. Well, that'll only bring you more burdens. Isn't that funny? No, it's not funny. Well, it is funny to me. Because all God wants you to do is admit that you're no good. That's all. Just admit it. Admit it. When he said, don't eat of the tree, you ate. That's the first story in the book. I mean, you could get past that story right off. Just read the first chapter. Right there. It's over with. When God made the world, he made it yashar. Perfect. It's good. It's good. It's good. Second chapter. Third chapter. It's not so good. Because even though he made man in his own image, and he told him to be just like him, be yashar. I am holy, you be holy. Or else. The day you eat of that, you'll die. And right away, they ate it right away. They ate it right away. They ate it. Eve did that. I know it wouldn't, a man would not have done that. That was a woman did that. They're always curious. Women are curious. They always want to understand everything. Men don't need to do that. They just sin without understanding. Adam didn't even ask, you know, well, what's it taste like or whatever. He just ate the thing. No brains at all. At least the woman, you know, checked it out and talked to the snake about the thing. Man just ate the thing because the woman, he let the woman rule over him. You see that right there? That man goofed up. He listened to his wife rather than to God. He right away goofed up. At least the woman could claim, well, a snake deceived me. You know, yes, I did wrong, but I tried to do the right thing. According to whose counsel? Well, the snake kind of told me that. He told me that I had it all upside down backwards. He said, no, 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 sweetheart. God wants you to be just like him. Well, that's right, she thought. Yeah, that's right. See how deceived she was? So, well, if I eat this apple, I'll die. Ah, sweetheart, who told you that? Did God tell you that? Oh, no, 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 no. He knows that the day you eat of it, you'll be just like God, the very thing he wants. Go ahead, try it out. That appeals to a woman. That's going to appeal right to her. No guy would have fallen for that. A guy wouldn't fall for that. The minute he saw her eating, hey, I'd like some of that. He just ate it. He didn't even think. For all their brains, they're thoughtless. At least the woman was deceived. Well, that's another story. It's an interesting story, but it all comes out the same. However you understand it, man is not Yashar, whether it's her or him or them. They both got it. But I like the way God proceeded. Now, Adam, I want to talk to you first because you're the head of this thing. I see that one of your persons, I think it's Eve, which is the only other person. But that's right. All right. So I see that, so I'll talk to her second. What went wrong here? You're the head. Well, I don't know. I don't feel I did anything wrong. I think it was the woman you gave me. What? Well, yeah, you gave her to me. How can you blame me? God? Yes, of course I ate, but she gave it to me. You mean you listened to her rather than me? Well, yeah, because she was cute. She had thought the thing out. She ate it and she didn't die, so I figured I could eat it too, not die. So you listened to your wife and you ignored the word? Well, yeah, you mean the one about not eating? Yeah. But I didn't eat a lot of it. I didn't eat the whole thing either. She did. She finished that thing off. So here's Adam trying to excuse himself and accuse her in order to accuse God. Excused himself, accused her, accused God. Clever. You can see he's lost his mind. Every man since then has lost his mind. If I don't know if any of you women marry, that's why the lesbian thing is smart. Don't marry a man. Because if you marry a woman, what's going to happen to you? I mean, if you marry a man, what's going to happen to you? Then you're really deceived. You thought that man was a good man? Well, you're deceived. This man's a fool. You just marry a fool, which makes you a fool. Now, you're foolish to marry a man who's foolish and then to bawl him out later for being foolish when you married the fool because you're a fool. You have nothing to say. You chose him. You remember, out of all the people, you chose that one? You could have chosen something else, a career, perhaps. A pet. Something, anything. But you chose to be married to a man because you said you were lonely. You see, you deceived yourself. Should have stayed single. Under God. But women are curious. Wonder what it'd be like married to him. I think I'll find out. That's experimental. You eat of the tree, you experience the fruit of it. Don't eat of the tree. Wait till I tell you. Don't you dare find out on your own. You kids, stop. You don't just do what you think. You stay within the lines. You do what I say. You come and ask mommy. Okay, mom, sorry. They aren't. Kids are curious. Kids are curious. What are you doing there? They put stuff in their mouth. Have you ever seen that with little babies? They'll put everything in their chemistry set to see what it tastes like. That's interesting. Oh, that's fuzzy. You know, and they'll put stuff in their chemistry set to find out what it is. They got a keen sense of taste. And their tongues are very sensitive. Ow! Their little kids are like that. They just put everything in their mouth. Test it out. God said, don't do any testing. Do what your mother says. Well, I blame the mother. If that little kid starts getting little bugs and things off the floor and so on, that's the mom's fault. So there's a better way to do it. Tie him in the bed. Tie them in the bed. See, where they can't move. They can't get in trouble that way. You see how hard it is. In fact, I would say it's impossible for us to be yashar. We've all failed. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Nobody lived up to my standard, the thing I laid in Zion, that cornerstone I built the world upon. Nobody discovered it. Nobody found it. Nobody kept the rules. I had laws emanating from that cornerstone. Should have stuck under them, stayed under them, stayed within the lines, obeyed them. Do not eat of that tree. Do not go by your personal experience. Do not go by your head knowledge. Do not go by your emotions. Do not go by your will. Well, I desired it. Remember it said she desired it? She desired her husband? That will get a lot of girls in trouble right there. If you desire, oh, I desired to be with him. I don't want you to show your hands. But how many girls desired to be with, I think I desire that man. That got you in trouble. You should have asked God. Well, God said it was all right. He said I could marry the man. Yes, but when? Don't you think it would be good if you waited till he was mature? When? He'll never be mature. I'll just marry him now and just hope my love will change him. Oh, brilliant. Brilliant idea. A cold day in hell. This isn't going to happen. That man is not going to mature after you marry him. It's over. You find out he's not the man you thought he was. And you will not be the woman you thought you were. Because your evil side will come out, your protective side, and your self-defensive side. You'll see, one sin leads to another, leads to another, leads to another. There it is. It's all downhill after that. Thus is the story of mankind. Began at the beginning in a simple way, cut off just a little bit. One apple. How could that be bad? One fruit. Nothing. Just getting off the line a little bit. How can that be so bad? It's so small. God set up those rules. He meant it. When he said, the day you eat of it, you will die. You died spiritually. You say it's nothing. Well, at least I didn't die physically, but you will. Because a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and Adam lived 930. The day of the Lord is 1,000 years. Methuselah lived 969, but no more. You see, with the Lord, he keeps his word. The day you eat of it, you will die biologically and mentally and emotionally and volitionally and in every way. You will be dead. Because you're spiritually dead. Once you're no longer connected to the rock, once you're no longer yashar with the rock, you're dead. Well, now that I've failed, what do I do? Well, I'm mortal, and I'm impotent, and I'm ignorant. Have you all come to that? You're not doing what God wanted. He wanted worship first. Then he wanted love to the church. Then he wanted love to all mankind. That's what he wanted. That's the standard. Love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Sums it all up. Especially those of the household of faith. So God made another way. Two. Instead of one. Having failed one, God did not come up with a remedial plan as a second thought. It was actually his first thought. That's why he laid the cornerstone with two before the world began, because he knew you'd sin. He wasn't surprised. Oh, what do I do now? I need to come up with another plan. No, that plan was first. The second plan was the first plan. He never expected you to keep the law. And you didn't. And he's not mad about that. Because the only sin now is not going to two and insisting on staying under one. The reason they killed Jesus was because he insisted that they go to two, and they insisted that they could still do one. And the Holy Spirit, when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. Why? Because they believe not on me. It isn't committing adultery. It isn't committing murder. It isn't breaking all the yashar rules. It's not going to tzaddik. It's not believing on Jesus, the imputed one, who imputes to you righteousness, not as an earning, but as a gift, not as something you deserve, but it's something you do not deserve, which comes to you by mercy. That was always his first plan, not his second plan. That was his first plan. The original plan was two. The original plan was two. He wanted you to go through one, so you couldn't do it, so then you'd go to two where he did it. So he exposed you under number one through Moses. Now remember how I taught you. I don't know if you remember. A lot of people don't pay attention. Let me see if I've taught you anything. What's the difference between A and B? Let's call A sin. What's B? B is sin. What kind of sin? It's not the same sin. It's called exceeding sin. The law came in to make sin exceeding sin. In other words, your hypocrisy of pretending like you're not sinning when you're sinning is hypocrisy. That's exceeding sin. Better to be just a normal sinner. But you have committed hypocrisy. Is that a S? Now, this is exceeding sin. You're not just sinful, you're exceedingly sinful. Have you discovered that? That when you're pretending like you're good and establishing your own righteousness in the nostrils of God, he hates it. I hate that. Because now you sinned, and then the next move should have been to run over here and let me forgive you, but instead you tried to save yourself because you're so brilliant, so smart, so clever. Huh. You sowed fig leaves. Eating the apple wasn't bad enough. You had to sew fig leaves on so that God couldn't tell you were naked. Who told you you were naked? Well, I mean, I could see it. I mean, we could see it. We just saw it. So we sewed these things on. God said, that's not the covering I want for you. You took the wrong covering. Well, no, but we made these ourselves. In fact, we have a little factory, a fig leaf factory going. And it's a good one, too. We got a good, it's just a thriving business. A lot of people are going to need these. We've anticipated the market. So it isn't just that you sin, now you've covered your sin. It isn't just that you sinned under the holiness of God, now you have become your own Savior. What need of Jesus then? Now you eliminated God the Father, and now you eliminated God the Son. What more will you do with your exceeding sin? Will you eliminate also His Spirit? Will you blaspheme the Holy Ghost? If you sin against the Father, I'll forgive you. If you sin against the Son, I could forgive you that too. But do not blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. What? Why would we do that? Well, because you sin against the Father and against the Son. Why not also against the Holy Spirit? Be careful. Now listen carefully, because God now has established another kind of righteousness. Not yeshar, but tzaddik. Now, in the Greek language, I wrote the Greek word. Being perfect in Greek, yeshar, being perfect, mature, absolutely Christ-like. That would be something called telos. You would be mature, telos. Telos. T-E-L-O-S. Okay? Telos. Now, to be perfect or yeshar, that's the Greek, that's the Hebrew, is now been replaced by dikaios and tzaddik. Tzaddik. Now, yeshar and telos is apparently not capable of mankind. He can't perfect himself. He can't make himself perfect. Jesus was perfect. He is the law. He's the end of the law. He's what the law is all about. Now, he wants us to go this route. Run here. Run over here. Do not stay here. You'll be destroyed. Run over here. Do not be licentious. Do not be legalistic. Do not be you at all. Because your deeds are not wrought in God. None of your deeds are wrought in God. Jesus' deeds, they were by the Holy Spirit. He was telos. He was yeshar. You are not. Now, he's provided a way out for you. Now, this is called imputed righteousness declared to you by the judge, even though, in fact, you're guilty. De facto, you are guilty. But de jure, you've been ruled because of your faith in Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the Jewish Messiah. Because of your faith in His dying for you, living a perfect life, not for Himself, but for you, and you took it. You believed in it. You took hope. Ah! That pleased God that you who were wicked and did not live up to Yashar, yet you took hope and you laughed and you rejoiced when you heard there was a way out. And you took it. You took the blood of Jesus and covered yourself. Now you who are exposed have now been covered. You who are exposed have now been covered. You're walking around in robes of righteousness now, and yet you don't deserve them. You're there just enjoying your new robes, and yet you didn't deserve them. They're given to you, and you are a proud person. You are not at all humble, but God has put these robes upon you, and you get the ring, and you don't deserve this at all. But God loves you so much that he gives it to you even though you don't deserve it. That's amazing. Has God gone crazy? Has he lost his mind? Is he no longer holy? Has his mercy just taken over? Has mercy triumphed over truth? No, over judgment. This is the truth. Jesus is the truth. He's the truth when he kept the law, emet. Now he's the truth, aletheia, when he keeps the law for you. He didn't keep it for himself, he kept it for you. It's only so that you could live. After death, there's resurrection. Jesus died and rose again. Now there's hope. And if you just take it, though you don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. Don't think you do deserve it. Don't try to go back under, you started in the Spirit. Are you going to go back under the law? Are you going to try now to keep the law because you're born again? Because your flesh is now like a child's once more? You've returned again to the womb and the purity of the womb. Ah, it's just as though I never were born. It's like I never had sinned because I'm dead to the old world. Now I'm alive again. I'm born again by faith. No, but you'll see you'll just fall, quickly fall back, unless you go on. Now, most Christians do not want to go on. It's enough just to have made it this far. Let's stay right here. I can still sin, and I can be forgiven. I can still sin, and I can be forgiven. I can still sin, and I can be forgiven. One foot in the world, one foot in heaven, got it made. No, God never intended. That's not truth. That's not truth. That's not faith that's not active in love. Faith must be active in love. Well, I don't have that. You can see I'm not able. I'm not Yashar. I'm Tzadik. Jesus has forgiven me. Jesus loves me. I'm the righteous of Christ. Empty words. If you're indeed you're the righteous of Christ, then let Christ, who is your righteousness, lead you. Follow him. I don't want to. Well, what do you mean you don't want to? That's your old man, the one that died. Well, he's popped up again. Well, no, just kill him. But I can't. I think he's me. No, no, no. No, reckon yourself dead unto sin and alive unto God in Christ Jesus. I don't get it. Ignorance of the law. Are you ignorant? Did the law not kill you? Why are you still then trying to please the Lord in your flesh? The reason why people stay there is because they still are under the law. Did you know that? It's not because they're under grace. If it was truly grace, it would be after death. But see, the thing is, they really don't know God yet. They don't know how good he is. Do you know why you don't do it? It isn't because you love sin. It's because you don't yet know the Lord. You have no idea. He's not just going to leave you forgiven, but unclean. He's going to cleanse you. Now that he's brought you into his house without payment, undeserved, the prodigal son has come home. He hasn't even washed up, and the robe is on him, and the ring. And he's eating the fatted calf. And the father is so pleased with him. And the son can't believe it. Father, I've sinned against heaven, against you, but this is good. This is good meat. I love this. This calf, it's good. It's tender. And the son doesn't even deserve it. He knows nothing. Why should that brat be walk in the house? Why should he be there? It's wrong. The older brother sees that right off. You came in just like that. Walk down the aisle just as I am without one please. Now you're a Christian. You're still a homosexual. You're still perverted. You're still a liar. You're still no good. Get him out of the house. That's the natural attitude, isn't it? So the other attitude is the opposite. I don't need to. So which is right? More complexity. More confusion in the body of Christ. That's why you need pastors, not to be juveniles. Because they who have been forgiven, they'll just let other people who are forgiven. Many pastors commit adultery, so they let others commit adultery. Many pastors have been greedy, so they let other people be greedy. That's all. Of course, those are nice churches. Those are the church growth groups. It's easy to grow a church like that. Because in those kind of churches, you can hide. You can keep your sin. All you have to do is believe. Only believe. Grace. They even call their church Grace. 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 We don't teach that. We teach that you have been wicked. We like to remind you of that. Don't forget where you came from. You're a beast. Wicked. Evil. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But you've also changed your mind again. You've also been forgiven, though. Oh, hallelujah. But you need to call upon the Holy Spirit. Don't want to. No, but that's what God wants. Well, I don't want to. Well, we're going to have to discipline you. I ain't going to be disciplined. I'm not sticking in the lines. Couldn't keep them before. I'm not going to keep them now. Oh, it's all right. It won't actually be you. It'll be the Holy Spirit. Well, let him do it then. He will. He has his little ways and means committee. He'll bring you to your death. What? Death? I thought I was a Christian, righteous as Christ. Yes, I know, but we have to send you through the fire. Affliction, teaching, training, correction, come under authority. Ah, it doesn't please me. That's your flesh talking. We don't listen to flesh here. We only listen to the Spirit. Your Spirit is saying, yes, let us go on to death. Let us follow Jesus. Let us take up our cross. He took up his. Now I'll take up mine. Ha. Now we just went over the green line. We just walked across the green line. You can't stay forever imputedly righteous. Now it's time to move on. Let us go on to perfection. Let us move beyond the fundamentals, the basics. Now you know that the first kind of righteousness is not the true righteousness. That's only for God. But now the second kind of righteousness is not the true righteousness either. It's been imputed to you. But upon that rock he will build his church. Now he's building his church. And now there's a third kind of righteousness. That where he's not only against you, number one, for you, number two, but now he wants to work in you, number three, and then through you, number four. Ha! Huh, where's four? It's all here. It's all here. It's easy to find four. Look. One, two, three, and four. It's very simple. So, now here he is against you, here he is for you, here he is in you, here he is through you. There you have it. One has been turned to four. What you couldn't do, apart from me, you can do nothing. One. But in me, through me, you can do all things. Four. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Ha! You see how it works? It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's perfect. Did you all see how I did that? Now, what Jesus wants us to do is you can't be a four until you're a three, and you can't be a three until you're a two, and you can't be a two until you're a one. Now, how many of you have been good, honest to goodness, tree-eating, betraying evil people, number one? And how many have kept a little bit of that up? Just a little bit, not a lot, of course. Just a little bit of that. A little hypocrisy, a little bit of wickedness. Every once in a while it comes out. And you realize, you know, still have a little bad in me. Well, that's all right. It's been forgiven. There is therefore now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. So if you're two, you're no longer one. So even though the world would say you're just going to stay in number two forever, that would be like a little child. No, we're taking people on from little children, and it takes time, to young men, young women, and then to mature mothers and fathers. Well, we'll finally get you there. But don't worry, we're taking you on. Are you ready to go? You don't want to stay in one, because there's nothing but condemnation, destruction, hell, being cut off and rejected forever. Nah, don't want to stay there. But neither do you want to stay in two. That's faith, but it has to be active in love for God to accept you. You say, no, he'll accept me, I'm just a two. Yes, if you're just a two for a week. I want to be, okay, could I have a month? All right, a month. 6 months. All right, 6 months. 2 years? Okay, 2 years. But no more. I'm cutting it off right there. Now, how long does it take a child to start to be intelligent, talking on their own, and spanked? Did you know you could spank a child at 8 months? So we'll give you 8 months. Then you have to be spanked. You have to be told, all right, we'll give you a year. Okay, we'll give you 2 years. How much longer does the church want to stay little children?
Well, could I stay here for another 2 years?
All right. Some children are spoiled. But thanks be unto God, I'm not going to spoil you. No, we're going to spank. Discipline. Why? Because the father that loves his children disciplines them. Isn't that beautiful? We don't have to worry about it. The only thing the spanking hurts is your flesh. It never hurts your spirit. So don't worry. You'll grow up to be like your parent. Well, who's your parent? It's not the Pope. Certainly not Pastor Jim. So who's your parent? Jesus. He is called the Father in the Old Testament. And unto you is born this day. What? One who's Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's Jesus. There he is. He's your Father. He's the one that builded you. You have another Father here, the Father of your redemption, not of creation. He's the Father of redemption. Not the biological one, but the one that adopted you, who rebirthed you, who married you. That's a different one. So he can't consummate this marriage until you're a four. So how do we get a one to go to a two, to go to a three, to go to a four? Now, can you see, even if you aren't ready, even if you're not ready, even if you want to stay a two for a while, at least allow the Holy Spirit to show you that you're one apart from Him. That all you are apart from Him is one. You cannot ever make it legalistically. You will never be able to establish your own righteousness. Admit right away, readily. So just spend some time, if you're going to stay a juvenile, spend some time at least confessing your sin all the time. Always say words like this. No, I know it's probably my fault. It probably is. I think it's probably my fault. I colored out on the line again. I'm sure. Whatever you just said, I'm sure it's true. Just agree quickly with your adversary. Don't resist all the time when you're spanked. This is a two, speaking about not being afraid to say you'd be a one without the teaching of two. I need to know that I'm forgiven so that I can go on across the green line and get my discipline. Why? It's for your good. It's your loving Father, the same one that gave you the one, that gave you the two, that gave you the three. Who will give you the four? But you'll never get to a four unless you're a three. And you'll never be a three until you realize that two is only a two and it's not a three. So every little child who's a healthy little child sees his parent and says, I want to be like my parent. So there's something in you that cries out, it's called the Spirit. There's something in you that cries out and says, I want to be like my Father. I don't want to just live in sin and get forgiven all the time. I don't want to just be a two that can keep sinning and I know he'll forgive me, but couldn't I change ever? And I've tried to change myself and it doesn't work. Well, that's a number one kind of thinking. But this is a number two kind of thinking, that only the Holy Spirit's good. Only God is good. Let God do it. He doesn't want you to bear any burdens. He wants to take all the burdens off of you. But of course, he has to discipline you. But of course, when he disciplines you, that shows that he loves you. But of course, if he loves you, then you'll become just like him. So now, he's not only against me, number one, he's not only for me, number two, he's in me, number three. And then he'll be through me, number four. So God is in you, and that's the secret, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So Christ is now working in me. He's working in me. So here, he's against me. Here, he's against me. Against. I'm sorry you can't read all this. But here, he's against me. Against me. But, praise the Lord, that's been replaced with for me. Now he's for me. Ah, these are no good. I hate these. We need some good ones. For me. Not any better. All right. Then this one is in me. And then this one is through me. And when he's through me, then it's not me. Because he's acting through me. He himself is working it in me to change my character. I'm taking up my cross until I'm dead. Oh, that's an important place right there. Me dead. So that I can live through him, that is, being dead, he can live through me, being dead, so that I'm resurrected in him. Now I can worship God, love the brethren, love all men, Christ in me, Christ through me, Christ. Now my deeds are wrought in God. Now, what God wants is to move us from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 so that in every way we are not only have the image in number 2, but also have the likeness, number 3 and 4. So that you're believing in him, then you're being conformed to him, your mind is being renewed, your will is being made strong, your emotions are being made happy all the time. Can you feel that? That's why I always tell you, always rejoice no matter what happens, because everything's going your way. But you're used to the old way where you worked hard and had to earn everything, and you're used to commands rather than promises. You're used to command. Most of you are command-oriented. Okay, now let's see what I can do. You're used to too many commands. You need to start chewing on, meditating on the promises of God. They're the only things that will keep you joyful. You can stay a child. You can stay a child. You're not commanded. You're not commanded. It's the Holy Spirit in you crying out, Lord, change me. Lord, change me. Can you hear that inside of you? That's not your flesh speaking. That's not your flesh. That's your spirit. When you hear that, God, whatever it takes, if there be any wicked way, get rid of it. God, get whatever it takes. Kill the old me. I'm too strong, Lord. Boy, I came out strong the other night. You ever come out strong against people? You know, you think of yourself as a good Christian now, number 2, but all of a sudden, it looks like some ones coming out of you. You know, it's like, whoa, where was that? Whoa, whoa, what was that? I thought I was dead to that. Well, this guy comes out. Because, you know, little testing. So the test is not showing you what to do. It's showing you who you are, and you are no longer what you just did. You're Christ. Christ is working in you. So he's just showing it to you. Not to condemn you. He's showing it to you to show you what he's working on. So don't get any condemnation because of that. Don't get any condemnation. When you see yourself coming out in the old man, number 1, oh, don't worry about that. That's just the way it used to be. But he is replacing that. He's at work in you to will and to do. He's at work in you to will and to do. Will is 3, do is 4. Will is 3, 2 is 4, 4 is a do. There it is. So simple. So when he shows you a sin, there's no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus, number 2. Now he's going to work that in you, number 3, so that then he can work it out of you, number 4. It's all Christ. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Glory, glory, glory. Faith, faith, faith. Hope, hope, hope. There it is. Love, love, love. What a beautiful picture this is. Oh, that you could get a hold of this, that your death is the key to your resurrection. You want 3 to end so that you're dead. All you have to do is submit. Pastor, I don't want to submit. No, 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 that's your flesh. Your spirit does. It does? Yes. Am I still talking to your spirit or your flesh? I don't know. Mixed up a little bit. That's all right. You're still a little kid. You haven't learned yet how to hear. My sheep hear my voice. You see, when you're born of God, you cannot stay in sin. You want to be done with sin. Why? Because the spirit within you cries out, oh God, why do I still have this old feeling, these old thoughts, these old fears, these old emotions? Well, because you're still trying to please God under Yashar, number 1. Don't worry, that's over with. Jesus already took care of that. Now he's got you in a new house, a new place. You're on the foundation again. You're back lined up. It's a new start. You've been given a new hope. You'll make it, because this time it isn't you, it's him. Last time was you. Number 1, that was you being good or you being bad, but it was you. This time it'll be the Holy Spirit. Then it won't be you. It'll just be a free gift. Then everything you wanted, you'll get for free. You don't lose anything. You actually gain everything, because you never got anything under number 1. When you were number 1, you couldn't get anything. You sinned to get happiness, and you didn't get it. Then you didn't sin to get happiness, and then you were miserable. So anywhere you go, you're damned. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. See, number 1 is not the way for you. That's the way for Jesus. He can make it through. Number 2 is for you, where he forgives you for being number 1. Then you can be number 3. Then you can go on and be number 4. Why? Because that's God's plan. God does not want you to stay a little child or even a young man or a young woman. He wants you to be mature in Christ till there is no male or female. There's nothing. There's nothing but the Lord. This is you. This is a picture of you. You are a four. You are a four. Beautiful teaching. It's all about the cornerstone. Every New Testament passage says Jesus is the cornerstone. Jesus is the cornerstone. I didn't read Isaiah 28:16, which says, I laid in Zion a cornerstone. It was for a foundation, a stone. I laid in Zion, this is before the world, I laid in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, a precious cornerstone, a tested stone, tried in the fire. It didn't break. That's Jesus. Then the New Testament identifies it exactly. Jesus is the cornerstone. Okay? Matthew 21:42. That same Jesus is become the head of the corner. Mark 12:10. Luke 20:17. Acts 4:11. 1 Peter 2:7. They all say the cornerstone has been identified. It's Jesus. Yeshua, your Savior, your Lord, your beloved. He loves you. He's working in your life right now. Let him work. Trust him. You don't want to work anyway. You're not made for work. I can tell just looking around. You're not very good laborers. He's a better one. You seem to be sweating. Don't. That's number one. Let Jesus do it all. This teaching is hated. When people come to this church, they love it at first, but then they begin to hate it. Because it sounds right to say Jesus does it all, but then they don't know why he isn't doing it all. So it gets them all mixed up. Well, I thought Jesus was going to do it. Well, he is. So they don't trust after a while because they just wonder, well, if he's not going to do it, I'm going to do something. You can't do anything. You don't even understand it. You don't know how good God is. But if you stick around, if you'll stay to the bitter end, till you're dead, then you'll see it. Some of you are stuck a long time. It doesn't take any more than 20, 30 years. You'll have it. You'll have it in 20 or 30 years. Don't worry about it. You'll get it. You'll eventually get it. You see, your eyes are still accustomed to the darkness. You're not accustomed to light. You're still accustomed to the cave. You're not accustomed to be out and free. You're still accustomed to slavery and to, you know, things on your hands. So don't be in such a hurry. It takes a while to grow up. Children don't just are born and they grow up. It takes time, a long time, to go through 3 and 4. It doesn't take much time to go to a 2, but it takes a long time. Killing you is easy. From 1 to 2, that's a death. But it was his. But 3 to 4, no, it takes time.